Hi, my name is Rowan Red Sky, and this is a podcast that I created for X-Space Cultural Center to discuss the video work of Kaya Joan, an artist who makes work in relation to their non-binary Afro-Indigenous identity. Their work titled Part 3 is showing at the X-Space External Space from February 19th to March 31st, 2020. This poetic video describes the movements of a gender-ambiguous being through a spirit world that exists parallel to our own, navigating rituals of grief, blood memory, and the medicine of dreams along the way. Kaya's voice narrates the poem with a blend of English and Ganyang Geha and animates simple line drawings laid over video captured with a mobile phone. To local Tagalundo Aga, the complex associations Kaya draws bring to life a Hongwe Hongwe presence in a city landscape usually posed as opposite or even hostile to Native identities and practices. Kaya and I met at a favorite coffee shop recently to discuss the making and meaning of Part 3.
I'd never been to Ganawagi. My mom only just went for the first time last year, and then my grandma the year before that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Toronto, and I definitely identify as Tagaranto is my home. My thesis work is a lot about that.
Oh, really?
Unpacking what that means.
Oh, so, will you tell me more about your thesis work?
So originally I wanted to explore the notion of blood memory because all sides of my family, people, due to colonial violence, were forced to assimilate. And there's a lot of anti-blackness on my black side and denial of indigeneity on my indigenous side, and it's been very difficult to contend with.
Right.
So I feel like my job here is to unbury and recover. And so centering indigenous and Afrofuturism and looking at how my work can act as a portal into the past but also into the future, very inspired by urban thematics and aesthetics. Mm-hmm. Graffiti is really influential in my practice. Yeah, I'm still unraveling all of these things. But
what do you think about the idea of urban indigeneity?
It's definitely a valid identification because for myself, I've never been to Ganawagi, and here is where I've received all of my teachings. Mm-hmm. And this is the land that I've learned so much from. It's an interesting way to identify yourself in a place that is such a large community, mixed community.
Yeah, they say Toronto's meeting place. So yeah. Toronto especially.
Especially Toronto, yeah. I continue to do a lot of learning in terms of the history of the place and like dish with one spoon. That's a really crucial part of my practice too, is understanding what that means and the protocols of dish with one spoon. And then just the history of the Toronto Purchase is really fascinating to me. The buried rivers that are here, that's a really interesting metaphor for me of the buried histories within my own self and how both of those things continue to rise and flood. And water is very grounding to me too. I think water is a place where I can ground myself, and I think about how my ancestors may have used this water. And there's a lot that I can offer water, and it can hold for me, and then I can also offer that back to me, if that makes sense. So I love the ideas of energy and how like our energy is affected by absolutely everything around us, of course. The moon is super influential in my practice, and so then I start to think about all of the other sky beings that exist and how, where they're positioned in this solar system in regards to us, like how that affects our energies.
All right, obviously I had thoughts while watching your video, and the one thing that caught my eye and my mind the most was that image of the bird on top of the tree, and you had little blinking stuff out of it. Can you talk about that particular scene and that visual poetry that you used?
Well, a lot of my inspiration comes from walking around the city, as I mentioned, and alleyways in particular, because they're like these moments of quiet and peace and these in-between spaces in the city. And I find there's not as much distraction, so I can focus on the things that my spirit wants me to focus on, like the bird that was on top of the wire. And someone once told me that bird song is medicine, right? Mm-hmm. And so that bird was singing, and I really needed that medicine, so then I took a video of it.
The association it brought up for me culturally was the Tree of Peace. So you talk about wanting, even though maybe you weren't thinking of a tree of peace, I think that's kind of a cool connection. Especially with the bird on top, because that's the symbolism of the eagle being up there.
I find that happens a lot with my work. This notion of mama hawisoan, it's an Anishinaabe word, of being in the flow of things where you are so deeply into something that it's not you anymore, it's your spirit, and all of those who are behind you are kind of guiding you. That's the mode I like to be working in, and I'll create a piece and I don't even know what I'm doing, really what I'm creating, but of course I know what I'm doing. Like, a lot of ways in which we do start to trust our feelings, or at least for me, is when I'm with community, when I'm engaging in ceremony or ritual, when I'm on the land. How do we have those moments in this, you know, day and age? I think for a lot of us that's really hard.
How do you get a feeling of being connected to land when you're in the city? How do you remind yourself that this is land?
I think because my mom was mostly raised here too, she has taught me a lot about how to still engage with little ceremonies in this urban space. We grew up beside a ravine, so we would go there to do moon ceremonies, which was really great. I take medicine from little things that I see, allowing myself to notice these things and sit with them sometimes. And I have certain spaces that I go to also in Toronto to be with the land. Yeah, and alleyways, honestly. Alleyways are huge. I love them.
Oh, I was really interested in your references to technology.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that fit into the rest of the poem and all this nature imagery?
Well, the world that this being is in is like this parallel, different space to this world that we're in now. And so they have been in this world, and then there was an apocalypse of some sort, and so they had to go underground, and then they reemerged in this world. And so there's a part one and part two to the pieces.
Are those videos that you've made as well?
I really want to apply to a grant to like complete the series.
So the part one and the part two, those are written works?
Yeah.
And then obviously there's part three. Are there other parts?
No, not yet. Oh,
and you started with part three with the videos.
Yeah, I did. Like Star Wars, working backwards. Yeah, I just thought this one made the most sense to illustrate. But in terms of the technology, as an introvert, that's a way that I connect with community too. And so for this person, that's the way that they're remembering a lot of their connection, is through technology. Leroy Little Bear, he's an Indigenous artist and academic, and he wrote about an ontology of technology and how technology carries spirit still too, and I think that notion is really interesting. There's like definitely a duality though, because I also can feel so overwhelmed by it, because there's a lot of energy existing online. We don't even know what that means yet, I think, because it's all so fresh and new, right?
The way that I relate to singing on a spiritual level is, I think, for people to just hear it is spiritual. If more people are hearing it, it increases the power, right? And so I kind of think of the same thing with the internet, because we're all collectively thinking on there, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I want to ask you about song, and you mentioned that they gifted you a song and that you sing it every night, and I just wondered, what kind of importance does song and music have for you?
I feel like I'm as much of a musician as I am a visual artist. Both of my parents are musicians and singers as well, so song has always been central to my life and existence. I sing in my dreams, and those are always the most powerful dreams for me, is when I'm singing or hear song. So yeah, song is really important medicine, and I feel like I also have a lot of tension with using my voice, and song and singing is a way to connect with my voice and truth that I need to be speaking.
Did you do the sound design for the video, like all the background noises and things?
Yeah, I did.
I really liked that moment in the video when you said, they gifted me a song, and then it suddenly just goes up the intensity.
Well, music definitely has that power, right? I was feeling so crappy this morning because I just got my mood time. I was listening to music, and my mood just instantly went up.
Yes. Those vibrations.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Because that's all sound is the vibration of the air around you, right? I think that's why drumming is so powerful, because it's such a strong vibration, especially a whole room of drummers.
Yes, I just got goosebumps even thinking about it, for sure.
I really liked the illustration of the horned beast.
Oh, yeah.
Like, running. I wondered if you could talk about the horned beast illustration.
Yeah.
And also the choice of clip that you laid it over.
Well, I draw a lot of spirits, I always have, just weird creatures. they've always been super fascinating to me. There's other dimension that exists also with ours, because I feel like I see these beings and their faces in different objects, and it's this other layer of reality that is poking through at me. Mm-hmm. So that horned beast is just an imagining of what could be existing in this other world. And I believe I laid it over Clip from, I don't know what river that would be, but it's in Mississauga. I went there with my mom and her partner last spring to see bald eagles. And it's the only place in Ontario where bald eagles are nesting.
That's cool.
It was really awesome. And there were also just geese, great white herons, and these little songbirds. It was just a really incredible space of song. It was a very powerful place. Oh, and also to see a bald eagle flying was really cool. Just like a really powerful moment that I had captured, and then I thought this beast, that is kind of an area where I think they would dwell, a parallel, maybe a portal is existing there.
Something that I thought was really cool was that riding a horned beast across water is actually a motif in Hongwei-Onwei's stories.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's so when I saw that, I was really curious how intentional it was.
Not intentional at all, because I did not know that.
Oh yeah, so there's this spirit that you're engaged with. What's the importance of the fox spirit?
Well, ochikwes actually means wild carrot.
I was gonna ask you why you named the fox wild carrot.
I was just thinking of cute names for a fox. Foxes are really special creatures that you see sometimes around the city. I've seen a fox a handful of times in my life living in Toronto, and those are always really powerful moments.
Oh wow, I've never seen a fox in Toronto.
I was actually just with my partner, I think it was last month, we drove down to the water at night, and it was so beautiful and quiet, and a fox was just in the parking lot of Ashbridges Bay.
Oh,
and
wow.
And ran, like, right in front of us. It was, I guess, because it's a city fox, it's pretty fearless, but those moments of seeing wildlife that you don't normally see in the city are really, really powerful to me. Those creatures often show up in my work, like foxes and deer.
And I wanted to know about the chochorong, the birch tree at the end.
We had a family cottage in Haliburton, and it was surrounded by these magnificent birch trees. And our neighbors, they had a swing that was in between these two huge birch trees. And that's just a moment and a space, I think, that's really stuck with me for my whole life. I only spent about 4 years of my life at that cottage, because when my great-grandfather died, we had to sell it. But anyways, I was thinking about what our canoes were made out of and how this person is in this moment of grief and they need to transition. And so to be gifted this knowledge of how to construct this vessel that will transition them out of this space of grieving, and then Ochiquis is gifting them this knowledge through a dream, and so to then come to this magnificent birch tree, I think that was an important moment of transition. I think that birch represents this moment of them deciding, okay, I'm going to move through by crossing the lake.
For some reason, I was intensely curious whether it was a birch bark canoe or a dugout canoe.
I was envisioning a dugout canoe. Yeah, that's funny.
And when I got to the part of the canoe in your video, I was thinking about the peacemaker story, and being a stone canoe, it would be a dugout canoe. So yeah. I was like, I wonder if it's a dugout canoe, like the peacemaker.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you thinking about the peacemaker story at all when you were writing this part of the poem?
I think so, yeah, because I don't have very many teachings on canoes, and that's kind of the only teaching that I have. So that's how I know that we have dugout canoes. Mm-hmm. And then the motif of traveling, carrying something that you need to carry with you in this vessel, I think that's like a really interesting part of the peacemaker's story. So yeah,
for you to be sort of grappling with grief through the poem and to have an ending that's a beginning, because it's a departure, and the departure is an arrival that's going to happen, and that's what the peacemaker story is all about, right? Is this war is self-perpetuating because we're all in grief, and that's really what the culture of the League was about, was the condolence ceremonies and all of that stuff was about how to deal with grief in a good way, and and how to unify with grief. So I'm kind of wondering, where were you going in the canoe?
And I wasn't even sure, honestly. Okay. Like, and I don't think I'm still not sure. because I don't think I'm ready to get in the canoe myself.
Oh, you know? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Right now, a lot of my thinking is super focused on my thesis, so I'm really excited to be able to move on to exploring other ideas once I've finished my thesis, and I would love to continue this series and not end it necessarily, but take it to a place where I feel like I'm happy with it. So yeah, I'm not sure where they're going yet, but they're crossing the lake. And I don't know if they're gonna connect with people on the other side. I think that's what my intentions were, is finding community, discovering they're not the only being in this other world.
Something I thought was really interesting about what I like to call the visual poetry at the end there, with the canoe illustration, how you did the animations on top of the scene of the water like that, so that it looked like the canoe is in the photographic image of the lake. There's these weird perceptual things that were happening for me. I had this impression that the video is being taken from shore, and then you illustrate the canoe as leaving a place that's actually over on the horizon there, and it comes closer to the perspective of the viewer while you're watching the film, right? So then kind of deconstructing it, like, all these layers apart in my mind, I'm like, they're leaving in the canoe and returning to themselves.
They had to leave a lot of themselves behind, transitioning out of this world to the other world, but then losing the only community that they had, the only family that they had, they also lost part of themselves too. The next part would then be returning to some part of themselves, whether that is reconnecting with community or ancestors or whatever that may be. The intention is already within me, but I'm not exactly sure what is going to happen once I make it. And I do see a lot of my work as a portal. Every portal is going to be different depending on who is standing in front of it.
Where the portal goes.
Exactly, where it takes them, yeah.
I know that the type of birch tree for the word chochoro is actually really specific. It's a yellow birch. And yellow birch live about 150 years. That's their average longevity. And I was like, oh, Canada just turned 150. Maybe you're chopping down Canada.
Yeah!
You're gonna make a dugout canoe out of Canada and then ride Canada.
Yes.
Back to your people.
Deconstruct the state.
Oh, and that works so well into the peacemaker idea for me.
Okay, well, love that, yes.
Yeah. From one urban Ongwe-Ongwe to another. This is Ongwe-Ongwe poetry.
Wow.
The visual is so integrated with the culture, everything. Loved it.
Well, thank you, Neil. That means a lot. Yeah, I'm gonna hold that with me. Because yeah, I've experienced a lot of anxiety and doubt too around all of that. So to have moments like this where you're recognizing that and seeing me, yeah, that's cool.
People prey on those doubts, and it's definitely become a thing. I think it's important to be connected to traditions because that's where we come from, and that's part of the path. But I think a lot of people use that part of the path to feel more powerful over others, and that's definitely a thing that's happening in urban environments, especially in our relationship to land feels mediated when we live in the city, right? So then we rely on traditional people, elders or whatever, to mediate a connection to creation. I don't know, I want to start a movement. How can we connect more to creation on our own terms as urban people, and so that we're not vulnerable, so that we feel connected to our traditions and connected to ourselves, confidently moving forward into our future instead of just always looking back, worrying if we're matching up with the past properly.
Yeah, right, and doing things right. Blood memory is huge to me. So also know that some of the imagery that I'm using is referential to stories that I know are within me. That helps me a lot.
Is there anything else that you want to point out or that you think that is important for me to know about this work or that you would want communicated?
I don't think so. No, you asked such awesome questions. So yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm happy that you're going to be writing this.
Yeah.
I feel really good about this. So,
yeah, me too.